Praise the Lord. What a blessing to be at church service and feel the presence of the Lord. And so it's been definitely been a blessing to be here this morning. I want to welcome everyone. A lot of faces, or some of the faces I don't know, and some of them I've been quite familiar with. Thank you, Nathan, for coming, and all the others here. So it's a blessing, and having the Nisley family here with us for the first time, and so I look forward to worshiping with you. So I thank you, David, for sharing that testimony, and I'd like to share a testimony also. I heard that testimony Thursday evening, and it was quite a busy week for us. It's probably the busiest week of the whole year there in the bakery, I knew it was going to be a busy week, and so on top of that, my tow motor, the brakes just keep locking up on it. I have an old tow motor, and it just keeps locking up all the time, and then it would release somewhat, but it never really releases all the way. And so that whole week, this whole last week, there's times I just had to quit, and then it would kind of let up, and so Thursday evening, this thing, I had to get things done. I knew I had about 12,000 pounds to load the next morning, and I don't know how many ton to unload, and this thing really started getting hot and smoking like I've never seen it before, and I kept on going because I had to get things done, and finally it was smoking so bad, and it was so hot, my feet were actually... I could feel the heat through the plate where the gas pedal was. There was so much heat coming up. And I went and parked it down by the warehouse on the outside because I was afraid it would burn off. It was so hot. And so that evening, a little while later, I decided, well, I'm going to have to get it inside because it can't get wet. If it gets wet at all, it'll quit working. It's a battery tow motor. I tried to get it to go, and it wouldn't even budge. It was so locked up. I got my little four-wheel drive tractor out, and I ended up pushing it in, but I barely get it pushed in, and they were just locked up. So I heard David's testimony. So the next morning, early in the morning, I got up because I had to figure something out, and I went and sat on that tow motor, and I just prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, you know, you've done so many things for me already, and I know this is a little matter for you, but would you please fix these brakes for me? I don't know what I'm going to do if I don't have a tow motor. I have to get all this stuff loaded, and would you just please fix these brakes? You healed my eyes. You've done all these things, and I just prayed to the Lord, and I turned that key and put it forward, and they work better than they've ever and for. Probably a couple years. I have to use the brakes now to stop where I never did have to before. So the Lord fixed them. And so the Lord really does care. He cares about everything in our lives. And so let's continue praying and seeking the Lord. And he does care about us, as we heard this morning already. So it was just a blessing. Thanks for sharing that. And praise God. Give God all the honor and glory. And so before we get started here, why don't we kneel in prayer and have a word of prayer. Oh, Lord, we come to you this morning with thankful, grateful heart. Thank you, Lord, again for hearing our prayers. And thank you, Lord, for healing. And thank you, Lord, for releasing the brakes. And thank you, Lord, most of all, for salvation, for redeeming us, and for caring for us, and setting us on that solid rock, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you just be with us here. I pray, Lord, that we can look at your word today, and that we can preach the word. I can preach the word, Lord. I need your help in this, Lord. Oh, Lord, you know that we can't do these things on our own, but we pray, Lord, that your spirit would be upon us here today. I pray, Lord, that we could just search our hearts, Lord, as we are gathered here together, that we can just see where we're going in life and the direction we're going in life, Lord. And I pray, Lord, we'd open our hearts to the Word of God here. And help us, Lord, that we wouldn't just be hearers, as James says, but we'd be doers also, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that your presence would just be with us here today. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. What a blessing to have the Word of God to go to. And I'd just like to start here in Matthew 24 and read a few scriptures here. In fact, I may just start here verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and the disciples came to him for him to shew him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he sat down upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world?" So they had a question for Jesus, and this is what Jesus told them. In verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." And then he goes on in verse 5 and says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And then we go down to starting in verse 11, it says, "And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Could we say because of the love of the violation of the law? Because of iniquities, it's a violation of the law shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But it says in verse 13, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." So we have to endure to the end. And then in verse 22, "And except these days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved for the elect's sake, whose days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not." And so the Word of God is telling us that we need to be careful that we're not deceived. And there's a lot of deception going on. If we just open our ears a little bit and open our eyes a little bit, we see there's a time, we're in this time of a lot of deception. So I'd like to start out with a story. And some of you may have heard this story already. But in the winter of 1971, this happened in Iraq, and it was a tragic thing that happened. And that was it. Iraq had very, very fertile soil. But they had a drought for about 3 years. It was very dry. And so the problem was they did not have enough food, and they did not have enough seed to reseed again. But the good thing was that Iraq had plenty of money from the oil. And so they went and they ordered from the U.S. and from Mexico. They ordered wheat seed. I believe it was like 93,000 ton of wheat seed that they ordered, and they got that in, and they received that. And there was a couple mistakes that were made with this seed. And one of the seeds was they ordered way more than they ever needed. They didn't need all the seed they ordered. And so the second mistake was the seed come and it was treated with lethal mercury fungicide. So it was treated and it was pink. The day finally come where they say, "Hey, come get the seed." And the people they come and they got their seed, and most of the people got more seed than what they even needed. And so they took it home, and some people couldn't read what said on the bag, and some people put it in different containers and gave it to their neighbors. And so all these people got these seeds. And the label was labeled poison, but they did not read it, or if they did read it, they didn't heed to it. Or a lot of them didn't even know about it, even when they did receive it. And a lot of them started using it as for food. In fact, I believe like 73,000 tons of that seed ended up going into food or food for animals. Because they could not read, or because they did not heed to the warnings that were marked. And so the government, they learned what's happening. They all once they heard that people are using this, they're eating it, they're feeding it to their animals, they're not using it for what it was supposed to be used for. So they put out a big warning. Don't eat this seed, it is poisonous. That was their warning. Don't eat this seed, it is poisonous. But there is this one older lady, she decided, well, let's see if it's poisonous. So she fed her chickens this wheat for 1 week. And she watched these chickens. Nothing wrong with the chickens. Nothing happened. Nothing changed. So she put out the word. She says, there's nothing wrong with this seed. It's not poisonous. I fed it to my chickens for a week, and it's safe to eat. And so they started eating the poison. And what she didn't know, this mercury is just slowly builds up. It may take weeks or it may take months for the damage to show up. And it affects people in various ways. Some of the people ended up losing their sense of balance. Some of the people lost their hearing. Some people lost their sight. Many were crippled. And I don't know how many hundred people, 400 some people, I believe, actually ended up dying because they did not heed to the warning. So this brings me to my message. Take heed that you're not deceived. I titled it, Yea, Has God Said. Yea, Has God Said. So we need to be aware of this. And if why don't we turn to Genesis chapter 3. The warning is, take heed of the pink seed. Genesis chapter 3, and let's look at this here's I'm sure it's very familiar with us, but let's see what happened here. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, has God said. Here's a serpent. And he comes to the woman and he says, Yea, has God said. So he's putting a doubt in her mind. He's trying to put a seed of doubt in her mind. Yea, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. That was a question to her. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, notice what she said. God has said. God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch, lest ye die. So here comes the devil and says, Yea, has God said, trying to put a doubt in her mind, trying to start to get her to question. And then she comes back and she says, God has said that ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, so she looked at the tree, she seen it was the fruit was good, it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired made one wise, she took of the fruit herself, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And we could keep going there. We know the story. This is where the beginning of sin began. Yea, has God said. And the woman says, God has said, don't eat of this tree. And just the very next verse, she was eating of that tree. She was deceived. She was deceived. And that's what I'd like to talk about this morning is deception. That we should heed, that we are careful, that we take the Word of God and we look at what the Word of God tells us, and that we stay within the Word of God and we don't listen to these voices. And we'll maybe talk about different voices then. So the woman saw it was good. It was pleasant to the eye. She took and gave to her husband. She ate. It was a little thing maybe in her mind at the time, but what a difference it did make. Let's remember the pink seed will kill us. As a pink seed killed the people in Iraq, that little, the little things of committing these little sins and where it will take us. Here was Adam and Eve. They were content in the garden, and one day this all changed. They challenged the authority of God. The question was, yea, God has said. And Satan is still using that same form today. Yea, has God said? Yes, God has said. Are we living by that? So I'd like to turn to 1 Kings chapter 13. In fact, to get the whole picture here, I think I'm going to start in chapter 12 and verse 26. Just to get the whole picture of this, what happened here. And Jeroboam, which is the king, said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. So the king here, Jeroboam, he said in his own heart, in other words, he had fear that the people were going to turn back to the other kingdom, the house of David. So if these people go up to sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of the people turn again unto their Lord. And this is something the king did not want at all. And this is what he was meditating, thinking about in his heart. Even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Thereupon the king took counsel. So he took counsel, he asked what he should do, and he made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold the gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel and the other put he in Dan. So he put one on the south, he put one on the north. And the things became for, and this thing became sin, for the people went to worship before the one even unto Dan. So I understand they traveled a long ways to worship this. And it became sin to them. And he made an house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and offered unto the altar. So did Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made, and he passed at Bethel the priest of the high places which he had made. So this was something very important. It was in the fall, it says actually, the ninth month. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel to be offered unto the altar and burned incense. So this was very important to this king. He was part of this offering. So they had this altar, and this king was gonna bring the offering to the altar here. And this was a thing that happened every year. So this was something very important to him. And now let's look at chapter 13. And behold, there came a man of God. There's a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and they were ready to have this sacrifice. Unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to the burnt incense. So the king was standing there. Here comes the man of God. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thou says the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Joshua by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places to burn incense upon thee, and the man's bone shall be burned upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when the king Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar of Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay a hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in against him. So the king says, lay hold of him. He put his hand out. Get him. He did not want this to happen. And when he put his hand out, he told him, lay a hold of him. His hand was paralyzed. It was froze. He could not take it back against him. And the altar was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the faith of the Lord thy God, and pray for me. So here was a king with a frozen arm, paralyzed arm. He said, pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again and became as it was before. So the man of God prayed to God, and his hand was restored like before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And this is what the man of God said. Let's notice this. And in verse 8, and the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was it charged me. So it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou comest. In other words, he got charged. He says, don't turn back. Don't come the way you come. Don't eat bread, don't drink, nor drink water, nor turn again the same way thou comest. So he went away another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. So he went a different direction. Now there was a couple young men. In verse 11 it says, now there dwelled an old prophet in Bethel. And his sons, they seen what happened here. And so they went home and told the old prophet what they seen happen. And I believe this old prophet probably got a little bit of excited that something like this happened after what he probably seen happening. And he says, well, which direction did this man of God go? And the sons told him which direction he went. And so he said, hey, go get my donkey, saddle my donkey, and I'm gonna ride after him. I'm going to find the man of God. I'd like to find him. And which way did he go? So in verse 14, he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that cometh from Judah? And he says, I am. So the old prophet found this young man of God sitting under a tree. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. So just come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, for it was said by me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt not eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou cometh. Now what happened? He said unto him, I am a prophet. I'm a prophet. This is the old man, the old prophet. He says, I am a prophet. Also as thou art, just like you are. I'm a prophet just like you are. And an angel spoke unto me by the word of the Lord. He says, the angel come to me and spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee unto thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water, But he lied unto him. He lied unto him. So what did the man of God do? So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass as he sat at the table that the word of the Lord came upon the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus says the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandments which the Lord thy God commandeth thee, but comest back and hast eaten bread and drank water in the place of that which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come into the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drank that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he had gone, this is what happened to the man of God. He was disobedient to the word of God. The old prophet deceived him. And he went back and ate bread with him. And this is what happened. And when he had gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. The lion killed him. And when the prophet had brought, and behold, a man passed by and saw the carcass cast away, and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told him in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, It is a man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. It was a man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord has delivered him unto the lions, which has torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke unto him. The lion killed him. He was disobedient to the word of God. Doesn't this sound familiar? I'm a prophet. Or in our day, we would say, maybe I'm a believer, just like you are. Just like you are. Or maybe we hear the thing where an angel spoke unto me, or the word of God spoke unto me. We need to be careful. Is it lining up with the word of God? It has to line up with the word of God. I remember, it was, I don't know, some years ago, I forget what's going on, but there's this lady, and she's a pastor of a church not very far from us, and in fact, it was at her house at the time, which they moved the church now, and One afternoon, she knocked on our door, and she—I don't even know what she wanted anymore—but she says, you know, she says, I know the Word of God. We got into a conversation. She says, I know the Word of God says that women shouldn't be teachers. That's what she said. But she says the Word of God told me different. Brothers and sisters, we need to be careful. We need to be careful. When we come to the God on the day of judgment, and we think God will understand if we're not abiding by the word of God, or if we think God will understand when we say, well, they told me this or they told me that, and this person told me. And if it doesn't line up with the word of God, we cannot justify ourselves. Daniel 5:27, thou art weighed in the balance and art found wanting. So we think of the old prophet lying to the man of God, deceiving him. But I believe the man of God was accountable. Because the man of God was shown very clearly the works of God. And he was commissioned not to turn back. He was commissioned not to eat or to drink or take anything from them. And he went there, and we know how the altar was rent and the ashes were destroyed. And here was a man, the king with the arm, his arm was paralyzed. He prayed to God, and God fixed his arm again. There were so many things that God was getting honor and glory for. He departed from there, and then here comes the old prophet and deceived him. And it cost the man's life, the man of God. Now I'd like to consider the story of Naboth. And we turn to 1 Kings chapter 21. And we're probably all familiar with this story here. Here's another story. But this story is different. And it came to pass after the things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the place of Ahab, king of Syria. So here was a vineyard. And it was right up against the king's vineyard, or his palace there. And Ahab spoke unto Naboth, saying, "Give me the vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for a better vineyard than it is seen good to thee, I will give thee the worth of its money." So the king is telling Ahab, he says, what he's telling him is, it would just make sense. This vineyard is right up against my palace, and it would just make sense that you would sell me this vineyard. Just sell me this vineyard. I'm sure he was willing to pay a good price for it. Or he says, if you don't want to sell the vineyard, he says, we'll just trade. We'll just trade the vineyard. I'll give you another vineyard. Now, this is what Naboth said to Ahab. The Lord forbid it me. The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my father unto thee. Now, why would Naboth say that the Lord forbid him to give the inheritance to him? And I'm not going to take the time, but we go back to Numbers 36. It is very clear that the law there was that they can, if they have inherited land, that inheritance has to stay with them. They cannot sell it. They cannot give it to anyone. And Naboth knew this. So he was not willing to sell or trade because, I believe it was because of Numbers 36. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken unto him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my father. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would not eat no bread. He went home and went to bed and turned his face towards the wall because he didn't get his way. He didn't get what he wanted. And here Jezebel, his wife, come to him and ask him, what's wrong? What's happening, or what is wrong? And he told him what happened and that he was very upset at Naboth and Jezebel. We probably know the story. But Jezebel says, get up and eat bread and everything's going to be fine and you're the king. And so she went and wrote a letter in Ahab's name and sealed it and sent it to the elders of the city that dwelt in Naboth. And she says, make sure, in my own words here, make sure that you kill Naboth. In other words, she wanted him to have some kind of a feast. And then when Naboth would show up, they had, could you say, two scoundrels that were going to have false witness against Naboth, that they come up with an excuse to kill him, and that he blasphemed, and that's what happened. They drug him out, they drug Naboth out, and they stoned him, killed him. Yea, has God said. And today the devil is saying, give me your vineyard. Just sell out to me. Just give me your vineyard. You know, maybe we think Naboth was a little radical. Couldn't he have just, you know, was it that big a deal? Was it really that big of a deal? Or was Naboth just a little bit radical that he didn't sell or he didn't trade? Or he probably would have got a lot of money for it. Or maybe he would have got a better vineyard if he would have traded. But he knew the law. He knew the commandments. He was obedient to God, and he was willing to go all the way. The devil comes to us, look at what I have to offer to you. Really, what's so important about that? And I had to think of conviction of parents. The conviction of parents. Is that really that important as youth, as young? That we abide by the conviction of our parents. I wasn't brought up, as I had shared, I wasn't brought up in a spiritual home. I was brought up in a good setting, but it wasn't very spiritual. We weren't taught a lot of spiritual things. But I know my dad had convictions. And he has strong convictions of drugs, had strong convictions of rock music, and there was other things. And because of Dad's convictions, I believe that's the only reason, or one of the only reasons, that I didn't get involved in it. It wasn't that I wasn't under the pressure, the peer pressure, and all that. And I guess I want to encourage you as parents here. I look back, we have two children, Justin, or Leah, married to Justin, which she's not here today, and then Stephen. And I remember teaching them and struggling with some things, issues that it wasn't sin. It wasn't sins, but it was conviction I had, being out too late. I know being out too late at night, even if it's doing good things, it can get silly, and it can, especially if it's coupled 3-4 times a month. And there's other, so I started setting time that they should be at home. And it was a struggle for my children. So why do we have to be home when the rest of them don't have to be home? And I remember one time Stephen, I believe, well, Owen's children don't have to. So I called Owen, which is Justin's dad, and I called Owen, and he says, well, my children tell me that your children don't have to. And so I guess this is where I want to encourage you, to keep teaching. My children weren't defying me. They were willing to be obedient to me, but it was a struggle for them. And it wasn't. They were both married. It was just shortly after they were married. We were together as a family. And I told my children, I remember sitting with Justin and Stephen there at the table, supper table. The ladies were cleaning up. And I remember telling them, I'm just going to give up. I'm no longer going to try to change things. I'm just going to give up. I'm no longer going to try to change the youth. I says, my children are married. I'm going to turn the responsibility to you. And you can take care of your own children. And I'm just going to go with the flow. And I was so blessed. Because Stephen and Justin both spoke up. They says, Dad, no. They have the same convictions I do. And after you get older, the more you see they have the same convictions. So what I want to encourage you, keep living your convictions. And it can be fruitful. And don't do like I did. I become discouraged. And the devil telling me, what's the use? What's the point of keep trying? Let's keep on doing what's right. Another thing is the devil comes, don't you know that they're out, that this is outdated, and it puts us into bondage. The other thing is, I've seen happen, some good friends of mine getting converted and truly having a zeal for the Lord and being on fire for the Lord and witnessing to the Lord, and especially this one family, I was so blessed with them. Actually, there was a couple families this way, and they were really witnessing to the Lord, to the people about the Lord, and people were getting converted, and all at once they got this theory that they have to be like the world, they have to dress like the world, they have to do things like the world so they can reach the world. In fact, the one couple, I know she ended up being a bartender so she can reach the people in the bar. Today, I know not too long ago, they weren't even attending church anymore. So that's the things, it just happened little by little. Things just happened. They got deceived into thinking that they have to act like the world and be like the world and dress like the world so they can reach the world. Give me your vineyard. That's Satan. Losing your morals a little bit. Modesty. What's that? What's so important about modesty? Keep your vineyard. We cannot afford to lose it, my friends. The devil's out to deceive. Psalm of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Ahab's statement. He says, give me thy vineyard, because it is near unto my house. In other words, it just made sense. Ahab offered a better vineyard to Naboth. And today we hear the same thing. There's a better way to serve the Lord. Let's remember to leave it God's way and do it in God's way. The way he wants us to do it. Not eating that pink weed. Ahab said, it seems good to thee. The old prophet said, an angel spoke unto me. And today we hear the Spirit told me this and that. But is it lining up with the Word of God? The Spirit of God told me, this pastor ladies told me, the Spirit of God told her that she should preach, even though the Word of God teaches that we shouldn't. It seems good to me. Why may I not be free to pursue that the Spirit is telling me? Does it line up with the Word of God? John chapter 8. A couple of verses in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Then says Jesus to these Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then thou art my disciple indeed. So we need to continue in his word. He says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we need to continue in the word of God. Naboth was a free man, even though the stones blasted him and killed him. They stoned him. He could have yielded to Ahab. But he was willing to sacrifice his life because of the commandment of God, the law. Are we willing to go all the way? Or do we want to compromise? And if we start compromising, it will take us a direction we never thought it will take us. We dare not leave or take our focus off the principles of God's word. It will poison our spiritual life. Little by little, it will spoil our spiritual life. Which way am I choosing today? Are the little small things in my life concentrating the Word of God or contradicting the Word of God? Am I work just the little things? Is there anything in my life that's contradicting the Word of God? Am I yielding to Satan's temptation? Let's remember the poisonous seed, the weed. And there wasn't immediate evidence. It took weeks, maybe a month or so, before the evidence started appearing. People started getting sick. People started losing their balance. People started losing their eyesight. People started losing their hearing. And people started dying. We cannot be disobedient to God's word and avoid judgment. Some people are expecting to enjoy the blessing of heaven while they sow to the flesh. And I'd like to turn to Malachi chapter 3. I think we heard some of this scripture this morning already. Malachi chapter 3, starting verse 2. Who hate the good and love the evil and pluck... Oh, that's Mike. Sorry. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to your heart to give glory unto my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse unto you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your face, and even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace. I gave them to him, for the fear of therewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. I'm in the wrong chapter here. Chapter 3, sorry. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. Well, that's a question for us. Will we stand in the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he approaches? Verse 3, and he shall sit at a refiner's and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. And it will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers, against the false swearers, and against those that oppose the hireling in his wages, and the widows and the fatherless, and that turn aside the strange from his right, and fear not me, says he, the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. For I am the Lord, and he does not change. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinance, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, says the Lord of hosts, but ye says, therewith shall we return. In verse 18 it says, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. So God makes a difference. There is a difference. The power of God is much greater than the power of the kingdom of this world. Do we believe that? Do we believe the power of God is much greater than the power of this world? Let our eyes be open that we can see that power. May we be able to reject them temptations. May we be able to reject them questions or them doubts, them seeds that the devil wants to sow into our minds. And let's always go back to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says. Does it line up with the Word of God? Let's remember the poison of challenging God by asking, yea, has God said. Yea, has God said. We know how that changed everything when Eve took of that fruit that was pleasant to the eye. Good fruit. And it's going to change our life. It's going to change our destiny. If we're deceived and breaking off the fruit that's forbidden by the Word of God and eating it. Someday we'll be in front of judgment seat and we're going to have to give an account for it. It doesn't matter how it was that we become deceived. This is by an old prophet coming and saying, yeah, the angel spoke to me and told me to come home with me. It doesn't matter. If the Word of God tells us not to eat of this bread or to not return the way we come, we need to follow the Word of God. All the way, my friends. So brothers and sisters, let's take courage by abiding by the Word of God, by looking at what the Word of God is saying, and take heed that we're not deceived by any other means. Let's make sure it lines up with the Word of God. May the Lord bless you.